I want to start out. I want to get your mind heading in a certain direction, your thoughts. I want you to think about renovation. You know, in the housing boom of the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, renovations were always a big thing. Flipping houses is a big thing. So when you talk about renovation, people have a pretty good idea what you're talking about. Say, I want to renovate my house. Okay. So you come up with a set of plans. Hire somebody to come in. They first thing that they do when you do a renovation is they take out the old. They take everything out that's old that doesn't fit in the new plan. Remove it. Then they have this plan. The builders look at that plan, put everything in place according to that plan. So can you imagine hiring somebody to come in and do a renovation on your house? I want a renovation. Okay. Here's the plans. Okay. So they work on it for about 2 months. You walk inside your house. You look around. You say, well, you know, it looks good, but this is exactly the way I left it. It's just redone. I wanted a renovation. I wanted new. I wanted it to look this way according to this plan. See, that's renovation. So when you look at Romans chapter 12, and you look at verse 2, and you see what Paul says here in verse 2, and he tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing, the renovation of our mind. So like I just said, if we're going to do renovation work, the old is going to go, and there's going to be something new in its place. Just the way it is. And that's what that word renew means. It's renovation. So you have thoughts in your mind, and there needs to be a renewing of those thoughts. Now, you've heard something about this here recently. I want you to think about a couple of things. I want you to think about your brain. About 3 pounds of Jell-O right in between your ears. Think about that brain. And what does that brain do? Well, that brain sends impulses to different parts of your body. As you receive input from your 5 senses, from your eyesight, from your sight, from your smell, your taste, your touch, your hearing, when you receive that information, it comes in, and this brain, this mechanical device, processes that information. You got a computer at home. Everybody's got a computer. You got a processor on that computer. What does that processor do? It takes the information, processes it. That's what your brain does. Now, I preached a message here recently talking about the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man and Lazarus. Great example in the scriptures. Something that we don't ever see anywhere else. A description of people that have left this earth. Where else do you see that? A description of people. One's in hell, one's in paradise. And here's the rich man. And we see that in his spirit form, he has everything that's identical to what we have in this physical body. He's got a finger. He talks about the finger of the Lazarus touching his tongue. Talks about the eyeball. We can presume that he's describing what would be a physical body if it was a physical body, but it's not, it's spirit. So what we can presume is that spirit fills cell for cell this physical body. Pastor Dave talks about a man named Ronald Cohen. Everybody remember Ronald Cohen? Plastic Eye Miracle. You can go on the internet and you can watch him tape up that eye. pull out the glass eye, plastic eye. You can watch him pull that out. For those of you that aren't familiar, he's passed away now. Pastor Dave had actually taped up his good eye. Now, he had his eyeball poked out. So there's nothing there. Empty hole. The miracle is he can see. I mean, that's a pretty good miracle. Praise God for that. Now, when you go online and you look at this video, what you're going to watch is this man pluck this plastic eyeball out of his eye. And that he goes to great lengths to tape up his good eye, the one that still is, you know, doesn't have any problems. Tapes that up. I mean, they go overboard. There's tape everywhere. And then he starts taking people's license with this empty socket and reads their license. There's no eyeball there. Now, most people, when you pluck their eyes out, they can't see. But in this case, what happened was God did a miracle and enabled him to see without that physical device. See, that's all it is. That's all these bodies are. These bodies are physical devices that enable us to live in this atmosphere. That's it. Now, if you take out, let's say that you were able to pop out your brain. If you pop out that brain, you've just taken out the very thing that puts you in contact with this world. We know when people have brain death, they don't stay here. They leave. They go to heaven. Now what I want you to see is you have a brain in this physical body. But going back to the example of Ronald Cohen, obviously he had, because he's spirit, he had an eye in the spirit. The spirit had an eye. The spirit had an eye. Okay, look at the rich man. The rich man had a tongue. Your spirit, which is what you are, you are not a spirit, you are spirit. And you, spirit, you have a spirit brain. Now, what does that spirit brain do? Well, you can go and look and read in Luke chapter 16, the account of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man conversed with Abraham. How do you do that? As you're a spirit. You don't have a body. Apparently you don't have to have a body to converse. He talked. Well, he actually even remembered his family back on the earth. He wanted Lazarus to go and touch his finger with water to his tongue. Now, I want you to think about all those things. Doesn't it take a brain, to be able to have that kind of a communication? And that's what the spirit brain was enabling him to do. So you have a brain in your physical body. You got a brain in this spirit. The spirit, you're a spirit. You have a spirit brain. Now we're going to talk about the mind. We're going to talk about the soul. The soul. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look in Thessalonians. I want you to look at this. Thessalonians. It's going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Very familiar scripture. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now that word holy is not like holy as God is holy, but this is entirely. And I pray God your whole spirit, and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to notice when it says your whole spirit, soul, and body is the fact that when it mentions soul, it doesn't mention two, doesn't mention three, it mentions a soul, your soul. Now think about this. If I had a person standing here in front of me, this person had a physical body, their spirit inside that physical body. Let's say we had the ability to pop out their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions, and their intellect. We could just pop that out. We're going to take it right out of that person. What is left? What is left is nothing more than a robot that has that is spirit encased in this flesh. Because we've removed the part of that person that we identify as that person. So in other words, let me demonstrate for you. Let's say in me, someone was able to pluck out my soul. I'd be walking around like this. Someone could say, "Hi, Mark. There goes Mark." Now, wait a minute. That's Mark's body. But where's Mark? All I see is this shell walking around, but the real person, where's he at? Well, the soul was removed, and the real person that you identify as Mark is gone, and what you see is a shell with the spirit inside. That's how important the soul is. The soul is what makes you who you are. That's what we identify with. When I look at you, I see your body, but when I talk to you, when I converse with you, I'm conversing with that part of you that's soul. It's who you are. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. Now, before a person gets born again, when there's spiritual death inside, I talked to Gary by email. He emailed this great little diagram that he did years ago. He diagrammed a spirit not born again as a little black dot. And I really like that. I mean, let's not be graphic about it. It's just a little black dot. Around the perimeter of it, he drew, let's call it like a hallway that encompasses that spirit. In that hallway is representative of the soul. Now in that hallway, going in towards the spirit, there's doorways. And on the outside perimeter, there's windows. The windows represent the five physical senses, the way you receive input into that soul. Now, the doorways that open up into the spirit, that represents the communication lines that existed when you first were born and you started growing up and you had this spiritual death. And all of a sudden, hey, I've just learned how to lie. Where did that come from? Well, it came because you received some input into your soul from that spiritual death. And guess what? If you don't do something to monitor and regulate the passage of that information from your spiritual death into your soul, if there's no regulator on there, the potential is unlimited for you to go in a negative direction. And not only are you receiving input from there, but you're receiving input from your five physical senses. And did you realize that we live in a fallen world? Fallen world. So you're getting input coming from the outside in that's from a fallen world. That's all programming you. You're thinking thoughts the way you do because of it. And you don't even realize it. Plus, you're receiving that flow from your spiritual death into your soul. So you're getting it from both directions. Now, if you have a good parent as a child, guess what your good parent's going to do? Your good parent, when you allow those negative things to come in and your soul decides, hey, I think I'm going to lie. Now, your good parent's going to say, no, you're not. There's going to be a punishment involved if you decide to go that direction. Now, if it's a godly parent, and I will get controversy for this, and I don't apologize. This is the word of God. I don't apologize for it. If you're a good parent, when that baby, or not a baby, but a growing up child, when that child needs correction, you take your hand and you place it quickly, firmly upon the behind. And that punishment, that quick punishment, it does something on the inside of that child. It affects them in their soul. And they begin to build in that circle surrounding that spiritual death. They begin to build a barrier and they say, okay, my intellect is going to tell me something here. It's going to tell me if I lie, lying equals pain. Lying equals pain. I don't think I want to do that anymore. So whenever that input from that spiritual death tries to come in again, I'm just going to say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't like pain. And that's the benefit of correction. As you do it and that child grows up, it will have a better understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And any parent that doesn't do that is harming their child. Simple as that. You don't like that? I'm sorry. That's what the Word of God says. I've had a little bit of experience with that, mostly in the direction of my parent correcting me. I'll give you an example. I gave it before. One day I decided as a teenager, it was a good idea to throw mud balls at cars when they drove by. That's not a good idea. And I realized that when my dad found out. He took me downstairs and he gave me a spanking. It was a spanking that I will never forget. And it affected something in my soul that was a permanent thing that I would not cross that barrier for any reason. I mean, I have aversion to mud balls now. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you about the soul. And we're starting out with the soul being affected by a spiritually dead spirit. You have to put that barrier up in order to keep that development of that spiritually dead spirit from continuing to impact you. Can you develop that spiritual death? Oh, sure you can. You know how you do that? By sitting and watching some of these horrible, gross movies. Not every movie's bad, but if you're going to these really horrible, yucky ones, you're impacting yourself. You're impacting. It's causing a change to happen inside of you. Not just movies, but other things can go in into a spiritually dead spirit, and it can begin to develop that in that negative direction until you reach that point that you have someone like Hitler that can do what he did to millions of people. Can you develop that spiritual death to the nth degree? Sure you can. But I'm born again. So I want to develop this spirit, me, I want it to develop in the nth degree, in the good direction. Does it have that potential? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, that's the direction that I want to go in. Well, what we need to do then is we need to really take a look at how this soul is going to play a part in this. Because I want to know. If there's some renewing that needs to take place, I want to know why. I want to know how. I want to know the details of it. I'm a detail person. That's just the way I am. Details. Had a business in Florida for a while. I for detail. I was a car detailer. And that's the kind of person I am. I get down to the nitty-gritty detail. Don't just give me a blanket statement without showing me two or three witnesses in the Bible. I want the witnesses. I don't care about your opinion. Show me the witnesses. So I'm going to share with you tonight. I have two or three witnesses. I have three witnesses on what I'm going to share with you. What I'm going to share with you tonight is about your one and singular mind. Not two, not three, but your one mind. You have one mind. Now, again, don't believe it because I said it. Don't believe it until you can prove it out yourself. Why is this so important? I want you to realize, and I believe the Holy Ghost wants you to realize, that all of the programming that's happened to you, all of the things that you've encountered throughout your life, it's impacted the way you think. We, folks, we live in a world that is under the curse. It's dying. Our perception has to be just so off. Because we've been programmed with this death. Let's take, for example, we'll take a variant. Now look at her. Now, if they're pure as the driven snow, I don't know what her history is, but let's just say she got saved at a very early age. Let's say that she didn't do all the nasty, horrible, dirty, ugly things like all the rest of us did. She had a great beginning. Parents took her to church. She said yes to Jesus at an early age. Now, what in the world would she have to have her mind renewed to? Think about that. What? Just the fact that she lives in this world, that she's surrounded by a fallen world, demands that her mind be renewed. Because it's been programmed, no matter how good her parents were, there's no way they could cut off all five physical senses. Nothing's going to get in. Nothing's going to tarnish. No, you can't do it. Things get in. The program is written. There has to be that renewing. There has to be the renovation. The renovation to what? To the Word of God. To the plan of God. The renovation to who He has made you to be. That mind has to be renewed with that. When you were born again, your spirit came into existence in a perfect state. So why does Paul say, look, you've got to renew your mind. There's got to be a renovation that takes place in your mind. Let's look at a few more scriptures along this same line. One of the examples. Do I want to use that yet, Lord? Let's go over to Luke. I think it's a little earlier than what I expected, but let's go to Luke for real quick. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. You know, until I heard Gary talk about Luke 18, I had no idea what this unjust judge is or was. Beginning in verse 1, Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I didn't understand this unjust judge forever. And it really wasn't until I had to figure out what this unjust judge was when I saw Debbie's life slipping through our fingers. I realized right then, I got to figure this out. That unjust judge is your soul. Your soul will side with whatever input it receives the most. It's unjust. So if you, through your five physical senses, if you feed yourself strictly on this world system, doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Just on the world system, it's a fallen state. So you just continually feed it on lack, continually feeding it on health issues that people just die all the time. If that's what you feed it with, and it's time for you to believe for a miracle, I got news for you. You have an uphill battle. Because you're unjust judge, you have convinced it. You've convinced it that this system in this world is the only system that really matters. What we have to do, we have to convince that unjust judge. And I found for myself, the strongest, quickest way of convincing it is through confession. Till I would just say it and continue to say it and say it and say it and convince that unjust judge. It almost felt like brainwashing. Just keep saying it. But it's the word of God that I'm feeding inside of me. I'm feeding it. I'm feeding it until finally the manifestation of that revelation came. And when it comes, you have your miracle. I want you to see something. This mind is so important. And how you treat it, what you do with this mind is so important. And recognizing that there has to be a renewing of this mind. There has to be. Because you are, and I've said this before, you are already conformed to the world, whether you like it or not, because you live here. You know, this whole process that we teach you here about assimilating the word, you have been assimilated into a fallen system by the simple fact that you live here. What we are trying to get you to do is assimilate to God's world. Assimilate out of this world around us into a world that says, all things are possible. Not just 50%. All things. And even as I say that, some of your minds immediately challenge that. It's because at that point, there's no renewing that's happened. All things are possible. In this world that you've been born into, that I've been born into, all things are possible. In this world, you can walk up to the sea and part it if need be. If it is in the plan of God for you to get to the other side, that water will part. That's the world that we've been born into. That's the world. We've been born into a world that if I need to go to Moscow right now, he'll translate me. That's the world that we have to have our mind renewed to. That we expect that. That we don't expect lack. Why expect lack? We are children of the Most High God. Why in the world do I expect lack? Why? It's because of that program that's running in my soul that has yet to be renewed so the transformation to the truth can take place. There are some areas that I've had it renewed to. I wish it was all. I wish it was more. How do I get more? I sit, I pray, I read, confess his word, and gradually, that renewing is taking place. And I'm starting to see little bits of what really is possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. This is how you get to that place. Renewing your mind. Now, let's go back to... Okay, let's go to Romans 8. Romans 7 ends telling us about a spiritually dead Jewish person who has given every effort to try and keep the law. Done everything to try to keep the law. Everything. I want you to see what it says here in chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now look at the terminology here. But I am carnal, sold under sin. He's carnal. What's he identifying him? He's identifying, I'm spiritually dead. Those doorways in the diagram that Gary made, those doorways, they're open. He's getting influenced by that spiritual death into his soul. At first, he didn't even know sin was sin. He had no idea. And then all of a sudden, here comes this law. And then I've got to keep this? How do I keep the law? This death is permeating me from the inside. It's affecting the way I think. It's affecting everything about me. And now you've given me this law and you tell me that I cannot have my neighbor's wife? I don't understand that. That stealing is wrong? Why is stealing wrong? Just because you told me it was wrong, it makes it wrong? Yes, it's wrong because God said it's wrong. So here's the man struggling, trying, seeing those words in the law, reading those words. If you do this, this is the punishment. Go ahead, have your neighbor's wife. We will kill you for it. Well, I'm going to shut that door real quick. I'm going to turn that door off. Shut that door. I don't want to die. I like living too much. But you know that there were some people that still did it. How could they do it? It would cost them their life. Just for what? Just for a thrill with their neighbor's wife? Are you kidding me? I'm going to die for that? I don't think so. But yet there were some people that did that. Why was that? Why weren't they able to say, no, I'm not going to do that? Because of that feeding that was coming from the inside, from that spiritual death, telling them, go ahead, it'll be okay, they won't catch you. You want that. And the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions are like, oh yeah, it'll be fine. The will gives in, the will so weak. Oh, just go do it. Next thing he knows, there he goes out the door to his neighbor's wife. Now I want you to think about this. Was it his legs? It's his legs' fault. They were the ones that carried him out the door. Blame the legs. No, it was his eye. His eye that looked. Pluck that eye out. See how ridiculous that is? It wasn't the eye. It wasn't the leg. Well, it's like saying it's the brain. It's the brain's fault. All the brain did was process the information it was getting from the five physical senses. That's all it did. Don't blame it. Well, the problem is it's spiritual death feeding him, and his emotions and his mind said, okay, let's go. And he went. Last verse of chapter 7. Now let's go back to verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My mind can read these words. My intellect can tell me what these words mean. I see it's good, but that's it. There's no strength anywhere to keep it. We're talking about someone that has not been born again. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He could read the words. He could see what the penalty was going to be. I don't want the penalty. I don't want the penalty. I want to be free from that, but I can't. I don't have the strength. Because I'm spiritually dead. I can't stop thinking these thoughts. This thing controls me. I have no way out. I see a law. I can't keep. Kill another sheep. Kill another one. Kill another one. Just keep killing them. Thank God we got more sheep. Then Romans 8 comes. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He gets born again. Who walk. Now follow this. Not after the flesh. See, if you go back one verse in chapter 7, verse 25, he's talking about the flesh. He says, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now he's down here in verse 1 of chapter 8, and he says that you don't have to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't have to walk after a fallen nature anymore. After spiritually dead spirit, I am born again. I walk after the Spirit that's born again, that has a new nature. The nature of Christ. I have control now. I don't have to. I'm not a subject anymore like I used to be. I can say no to that stuff. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Can you imagine one day these people, they had the law. That's all they had. And they could see that it wasn't working. The frustration. And then all of a sudden, there's Jesus. They get born again. They're free. I'm free. Praise God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, they couldn't stop it. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not after spiritually dead spirit. I'm born again. I don't walk after spiritually dead spirit anymore. I walk after a reborn human spirit. I can walk now. I can trust that the law has been written in my heart. I have a conscience. See, before, all I had was that artificial conscience my parents, they put into me through correcting me, just like the law. That's all I had. But now, I have a conscience that will tell me that's right, Mark. That's wrong. That's right. That's why if you're born again and you think stealing is okay, we have a problem. Because that conscience will tell you stealing's not right. Lying's not right. You don't have to ask somebody, do you think this is wrong if I lie? Are you kidding me? No. You have a conscience. Your new nature will tell you. Go to the store. Maybe you used to pick up a few pieces of fruit off of the shelf. Nobody ever does that. Pick up a few grapes, try them as you walk through the store. Get saved and go try to do it. Now, maybe you have silenced that over time. Maybe you still like to do that. I don't like to steal myself. But maybe you like to and you silenced that. But as long as you haven't silenced that conviction, when you try to steal something, you'll know this is wrong. That's the value of that new nature that he put inside of you. You now have the ability to know God, to know the things of God. Before, it was like a world away. There's no way you could have known the things of God when you were in spiritual death. But now you know the things of God. Hallelujah. Let's go on here. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here's where we may get a little controversy. But I'm telling you, I have more than two or three witnesses to back this up. The carnal mind here is not talking about someone that's not born again. You're born again. The mind that he's talking about is the second mind, the mind of the Spirit. The carnal mind is the mind that's fed by spiritual death. Look at what it says. To be carnally minded is death. You're not going to suffer death unless you decide to go against all of your new nature, go out and live the way you used to live before you got born again. Now you're pressing on the outer boundaries, and you may end up walking flat away from God. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking here about someone that's either born again or not born again. You're not born again, your mind is being fed, influenced by spiritual death. You have a carnal mind. here's the reason why it stuck with me. You know, that renewing process. We're not talking here about trying to renew a carnal mind. We're talking about renewing a mind in a spiritually reborn human spirit. That's the mind that we're renewing. You're born again. You're being influenced now by life. Now we're going to renew our mind to the things of God, because now you have the capacity to understand it. Before, when you were a carnal-minded person, held under the bounds of spiritual death, you couldn't understand anything, but now you can. That's the difference. So, going back here, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Years ago, I remember listening to a tape by an up-and-coming man by the name of Dave Roberson. In this tape, he talked about Romans chapter 8. He talked about the mind of the Spirit. And he meditated on it. He had the people in the office meditating on it, trying to break that verse down. Break it down. What does that mean? Kodabasi, prayed over it, meditated it. What did it mean? The mind of the Spirit. Is there another mind? Do we have two or three minds? And he finally broke that verse. Let's read the verse. Romans 8, you're still right there. Just go over. We'll start in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself or himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When he broke that verse, I was one happy camper to find out what this was saying to us. The mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit. Have you ever heard anyone, it's not a common phrase anymore, but have you ever heard anyone say, I have a mind to do something. I have a mind to do something. That's the essence of what this is saying. I have a plan. I have a mind to do something. He's not talking about the mind of the soul. He's talking about, I have a plan. Here's where some of the confusion exists. And it comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last verse. The last verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. Where does this mind fit with all the other things that we've talked about? Because I only have one mind. And I want to know this mind of Christ. All right. Well, here's the first of three examples where the mind is talked about as having a plan. I have a mind to do something. Let's go to another one. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. It just so happens that it's in 1 Corinthians, which I think is very handy, because when a writer of a letter begins that letter by using a word in a certain way, that's something that you need to take note of. Because when they do that, then it opens the door that maybe they're going to do it again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, we're not talking about being perfectly joined together in mind. I'm going to join my mind with hers. Is that it? Of course not. Having the same, perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That word judgment is akin to the word kenosko. That's the word knowing. And it denotes a mind, an understanding, a purpose. An understanding, a purpose, a plan. To have the same mind, the same plan, and the same judgment. So that's in the first chapter. So let's go now to the second chapter. So we have two places now. We have what Paul wrote in Romans. Have a mind to do something. The mind of the Spirit, Romans 8. Here we're going to be joined with the same mind. Not talking about I have the mind that you have. We have a same similar purpose, a similar plan. So there's two witnesses right there. And then the same book in chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's a little less. For the Spirit searches all things, little yet little less. Yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. And I circled that word, know the things of God. That's what we receive when we were born again. We can now know the things of God. That reborn human spirit can now communicate with this mind. And by praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost can begin to reveal truth into this soul. I can receive this and understand this. And now, when I'm making these confessions to this unjust judge, the understanding will come through that pathway of that reborn human spirit, and I will know, and I can believe, and I can receive those miracles. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you're praying in tongues. There's a comparing that's going on. Spirit to spirit, you pray. That comparison goes on. And the verse that comes to mind is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So let's look there. To keep your place here, let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'm praying in tongues. I'm meditating the word. And this is the power of what is happening. You see, that soul and that spirit, they're so close, that it takes the sword of the word. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. As I'm praying, kodobosi, and that comparing is taking place, that comparing that we saw back in 1 Corinthians 2. I'm praying and that comparing is taking place. Have you ever noticed that all of a sudden, Maybe something will just rise up on the inside of you. A scripture will come to you. Maybe you're pondering something. You've got a question. You don't know about something. And something starts to roll up on the inside of you. Maybe it's where you, I don't know if I'm doing right or if I'm doing wrong. And that word is able to discern and is able to show you, okay, this is your soul trying to weasel out of something. Here's what the truth is saying to you. This is your soul. This is an unrenewed part of you, Mark, that's trying to get away with something. Here's the truth. Here, take this. See this. All of that's happening. So many things are happening when we're praying in tongues. All right. But that verse right there, it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word heart there is cardia. If you look up the translation of it, one of it is the mind. It is discerning what's happening in your mind. You know, there's times that my mind can just go off in all kinds of directions. But when I sit and pray in tongues and meditate the word, there's something that happens that it goes beyond the natural in the spirit. It straightens itself out. There's something that happens where the word begins to get, it impacts me in my mind. And I start to see things that I didn't see before. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2 again. 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. This guy is not born again. For they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discern. He can't know them. There's no way in his mind he can understand them. They're spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And this was the one that really tripped me up. Because I kept thinking, okay, the mind of Christ. Is there another mind somewhere inside of me? What is this about? And he pieced together Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he showed me that this mind is the plan of God. And Debbie said this, and I had her, and I wrote it down because I shared this. I taught this a little bit to her. She said, say it this way and they'll get it. We have a nature enabling us to comprehend his will, plan, and purpose for our lives. We do not have his brain. You don't have his brain. But now you have a nature, and that nature enables your mind to receive from the Holy Spirit the plan, the mind, the plan of God. He has a mind for you. He's got a plan for you. Now you have the equipment to comprehend that because you have a reborn human spirit. You can receive that. Before you couldn't. How do you do it? Kodo bo sandaraba shandaraba si. Kodo bo si. Pray in tongues. Meditate the word. Grow that spirit man up. Grow him up. Mature him. But realize this. It is your mind. The mind of your soul. Your mind. That is going to need to be renewed. That's the renewing part. Once that renewing happens, as you renew it and continue to renew it, that's where the Romans 12:2 talks about that your transformation takes place. Transforming from glory to glory into his image. You have one mind. You have one mind. All right. Ephesians. I want you to start out in chapter 1. And I'll start wrapping this up. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. This guy is not born again, or he wasn't, but he got quickened. Now he's going to talk about him in the past tense when he wasn't born again. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now I want you to think about that part. This is why it's so important that your mind be renewed. Before you were born again, all those things, those patterns of thinking, they get indelibly etched inside of you. That's what he's talking about here. Before, you walked according to the course of this world. Now you're born again. Stop walking according to the course of this world. Whatever this world says is right doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Most likely, there's a problem with it. What's right is what's in these pages right here. This is it. This is what you have to transform to. This is what has to affect your mind and the pattern of the way you think, the way you perceive things. That the first thought in your mind is not lack. The first thought in your mind is not, I'm going to die, these symptoms are horrible, I'm just going to die. No. My mind has got to be renewed to the fact that I have more than enough. I can do whatever he tells me to do. I don't have to try and fake it. I don't have to try and I think I feel this way. No. I believe it. It's part of me. It's who I am now. We can't try to fake this. We can't try and I see it and I'll try to fake it. No, you become this from the inside out. You become this. This is who you become. You become the person that walks down the street and the presence of God surrounds you. You become that person. And that's possible. That is what he wants us to go to. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, say all had our conversation, and that word conversation is a verb, and it simply means behavior. That's how we behaved in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want you to picture something. I want you to picture two people standing here right now. One person, let me give you some background. They grew up in basically the same neighborhood. They've been friends forever. They have the same habits. They both like to drink. They both like to party. And then all of a sudden, this guy gets saved. And this guy doesn't. And a year goes by. And the person A gets filled with the Holy Spirit, prays in tongues, does the things that we teach here. And they sit down at a table, both of them. And guy, person B, he just gets saved. So person A has been saved for a whole year doing the things we teach here. Person B has been saved a week. So they both sit down at a table. And we put on that table their favorite alcohol. Just put it right there. Do you know person B, the guy that just got saved, he's looking at that alcohol. This guy's got a drinking problem. Okay, before he got born again, he was a drunk. Now, he is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But guess, forget that. His soul is trained to like alcohol. His body craves it. He sits and looks at that, and all of a sudden his brain starts sending these signals. That's good stuff. His mouth starts to water. He has all these reactions. He wants that. The only thing at this point stopping this man from reaching over and grabbing that and sucking it down is willpower in his soul telling him, don't do it. Now the person on the right, person A, he's gotten past that. He sits down. He looks at it. There's no chemical reaction. His brain's not sending any signals. Why is that? How did that change take place? Because if we can replicate this in people, we can see them free from alcoholism, drug abuse. How did it happen? What happened? This guy got transformed. His thoughts aren't the same thoughts that his friend's having. He's not having these chemical reactions. In fact, he's so changed that it repulses him. He smells it and doesn't like it. I'm telling you what, there's people dying right now for that information. And you know it. And you have what will set them free. This message. You have it. We've got an obligation to do something with this. Got an obligation. People need to know. This guy on the right, his desires changed. The Holy Ghost has just done something through this praying in tongues, this comparing spiritual with spiritual from the Word of God in Hebrews 4. It has been a discerner of the thoughts and intents of this guy's heart. He's free. He's free. Now this guy on the left, he's free too, but you know the problem is his soul doesn't know it. His soul's still programmed with the trash. Let me bring this other point up. Conference 2000. Somewhere along this row right here, I lost it. Sitting there during that conference, Pastor Dave walks out. I couldn't contain myself. The crying that came out from the inside of me. What was it? There was a healing in my emotions that was happening. Don't shortchange this message. Yes, I had been saved for years. Yes, I had been delivered. I was set free. But you know, inside of me, there was still a healing. Let me give you an example. Somebody gets saved, they got a broken arm. Well, don't you know? Jesus set you free. Don't you know by his stripes you're healed? I receive that, but I still got to get my arm healed. I received the healing in my emotions whenever I became born again. But there was a healing that needed to happen. I want you to make sure you understand that in that soul there was a healing that was necessary, and I received it. Now, Ephesians 4, and this is where we're going to end for tonight. Ephesians 4, we're going to begin in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. You know, that right there, in those two verses, answers this greasy grace message. It answers it. You shouldn't be walking like the rest of the world. I mean, how clear does he have to say it? If your walk looks like the rest of the world, there's a problem. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened. See, that's their excuse, but we don't have that excuse because we're born again. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They need to be born again. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation. There's that word again, behavior. The old man, put him off. He's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I've looked at that for a long time. When I was not born again, the influence that I had from that spiritual death, that was corruption. When I became born again, the spiritual influence is what he's talking about. Be renewed in that spirit of your mind. Be renewed according to that spirit. That spirit, that reborn human spirit. Be renewed according to that one. See, before you were, your mind was according to that fallen nature. Now, be renewed in this spirit. This is the one that's feeding you now. But you have to do something. You have to renew that mind. Because like I've said before, it has a program that's running all the time. And it's running based on all the events of your life. It's running based on all the five physical sense information that you've taken in. And we wonder why it's so hard to see results. It's because we live in this world and we're so programmed by it. The way to get the results is renewing the mind. It's convincing that unjust judge, this is the truth. And this is what you will believe. Amen.